I am become Barbie, a hater of men. Basically, right?
I mean, basically, if you think about it.
I mean, basically, because, like, the whole movie was really just talking about how men suck. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, it was the event of the summer, and I didn't know I showed up just to get degraded.
That's what I'm saying. For 2 hours, I sat there just being degraded. Like, what's wrong with me singing at you?
Yeah, exactly.
What's wrong with that? So you don't like The Godfather. You don't like cinema, really.
The movie, violently anti-men.
Oh, 100%. Very super anti-men. Yeah. You know, in the words of the my favorite modern philosopher, you could call him Ben Shapiro, the movie takes itself very seriously.
Real thought leader.
It's a very serious movie.
Uh-huh.
And so there are a lot of serious issues. And really, that's kind of what I wanted to get on here and talk about, was Ben Shapiro's 43-minute rant about Barbie.
Yeah.
Almost half the runtime of Barbie itself.
Spoiler warning, by the way.
Yes,
there'll probably be spoilers. We're not gonna do like an in-depth review, but we're gonna just bring stuff up flippantly. So
we live on the internet. You know, we have to talk about internet things.
Yeah, so I really
obviously gotta talk about Barbenheimer.
I didn't want to watch the Ben Shapiro 45-minute breakdown.
I had to.
Yeah, but I just felt compelled. And to be fair, like my media stamina, I feel like is pretty good.
Yeah,
right. Because we watch like 3-hour-long Trump speeches for this show. And we're able to slog through those, but this was a tough watch.
No, Ben Shapiro's video was a slog watch to get through, because he just intentionally, maybe it wasn't intentional, maybe he's just fucking stupid, but he just didn't get it.
Yeah.
And he made a 43-minute video where he was just mad about how he didn't get it, and somehow, it's like an end of the Spider-Verse, you know, when Miles, like, is struggling in school, and she gives him his test back, and she's like, Miles, this was true or false, and you got a zero.
Yeah.
So to do that, you'd have to know everything so you could get it wrong. That's how I felt watching Ben Shapiro's video, because somehow he misinterpreted every single thing that happened in that movie.
Every time.
Every time.
Yeah, every time you get a chance.
And it got me when he's like, no, this is a serious movie. Because it's not. Like, the themes are serious. It takes its themes seriously. But the movie itself is deeply unserious.
Yeah.
You're trying to tell me that when Barbie fucking turns the shower on and no water comes out, that this is a serious film? No, Ben, these are for visual gags.
Yeah.
God.
And he kept saying over and over that the movie is for kids and their parents, like mothers and daughters to go and see. Movie's PG-13.
Facts.
And the themes and things that, like, in the very beginning, like the first act of the film, the main conflict that Barbie, the main character, runs into, stereotypical Barbie, is that she's having thoughts of death.
She's an existential crisis.
It's not a movie for children, especially because culturally, when I think of young people today, they're not the ones playing with Barbies. They got iPads in their hands, brother. The people that played with Barbies are older now
screen
and can
agers.
Appreciate media that takes a more in-depth look at what womanhood is really supposed to be, which is what what womanhood is and how it's treated in society, which is what the film is really about. And you know this especially because this is the plot of the movie. Barbie finds out that the reason she's in the real world is not because of some little girl that's not playing with her toy anymore, but because of an adult that's been thinking about this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's
reminiscing
the plot of
the nostalgia
movie.
Like, Ben Shapiro kept hitting on, like, how come this isn't a nostalgic movie about mothers and daughters? It is.
Yeah.
It is a nostalgic movie about mothers and daughters. There is a mother and a daughter and the conflict that is there in their relationship at the core of the film.
Yeah.
At the core of the film.
Listen, I really liked the Barbie movie.
It was good.
I thought it was really good. I thought it was a great movie. But before even listening to any of the conservative talking points about the film, I knew that it would be, one, this movie is an attack on men. And two, if you really want to protect womanhood, the real people attacking womanhood and dominating women in society is not men, but is trans women.
That's right.
I knew that would be the two talking points.
That's right.
And I was correct. First of all, movie doesn't attack men in any way.
No.
In fact, offers a very
radically pro-men.
It offers a very like healthy outlook on what manhood should be. I thought it was done really, really well, even though that's not like the main point of the film. And two, trans women, not even brought up in the film, by the way.
Not once.
There was one trans actress, trans actress in the movie, didn't even know she was trans until they told me about it.
I had seen articles, Fox News articles, and just like regular, just conservative schlock talking about how Barbie is filled with the trans agenda. I was waiting the whole time and I was disappointed. I was waiting for the trans agenda to creep up so
didn't
I could
happen.
Giggle at what they think is like this crazy thing. I couldn't anything.
Yeah.
I was disappointed.
Yeah.
And like, where's the trans agenda?
And obviously, they're talking about how, like, trans people, trans women specifically, are attacking womanhood. First of all, trans people, 1% of the U.S. population.
Yep.
They're not attacking anything. Trans women, even smaller portion of the U.S. population, of course. And on top of that, even if they were a more significant portion of the population, nothing about trans existence attacks women. And actually, in the film, it pretty explicitly says that the reason womanhood is viewed as it is in society is because of patriarchy. That's like the plot. That's the point.
That's the other thing. It's like everything they didn't like spare the subtlety. Like it was very explicit.
It was all political commentary.
Entire movie. It was all very on the nose. Yeah. Like this is what it's about. And that's why it just, I have to keep coming back to Ben Shapiro because it baffles me how someone can just misinterpret something so blatantly.
Yeah.
And he's talking about like, well, at the end when they were talking about how the Kens wanted a seat on the Barbie Supreme Court and they said no. Mm-hmm. Well, the movie right there, it told you that it's a man-hating movie. That's what that means. Textually, they're saying it.
See,
read between the lines.
I knew while watching the film, as soon as I saw Barbie Land and how it was depicted, I knew exactly what conservatives were going to say. They were going to say, oh, so utopia is when women just control everything instead of men.
Oh, so matriarchy is good.
The movie pretty obviously says that patriarchy is absurd and it's a system of domination and that Barbie Land is a cartoonish, absurd depiction of what reality would be if women
satire.
Controlled it. It's not real.
It's completely satire.
And by the end of the movie, they come around and say like, oh, we both need to be more healthy versions of ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like Ken's whole character arc, the main Ken, his whole character arc is I'm enough to be on my own, right? Yeah. I don't have to define myself in relation to Barbie. I can just be me. He has the shirt at the end that says,
I'm
Knuff.
It's good.
That's the whole point. That's what it dives into when it comes to manhood. And it's just so stupid. Like, it's not even just bad media literacy. It's straight up being like anti-media literacy.
Oh, absolutely.
You are purposefully misunderstanding the point of the film to somehow score points on your side of the political agenda. It's fucking insane.
And it's wild because even with that, like the whole the patriarchy versus matriarchy, the depictions of both within the movie, they're talking about it like as if the men were super shit on when Barbies were in control. But then they go and Ben Shapiro says, well, actually, like what's so bad about like serving your man? Like what's so bad about you like helping out your man when there's patriarchy going on? Even though the movie goes through explicit lengths to say that both of these things are bad because everything is explicit in the movie. Like it's right there in front of you. And the only difference is that when the Barbies were in control, the Kens were just ignored. And a lot of what the Kens like struggle was that they didn't really have much to do and that they defined themselves in relation to their Barbies.
Yeah.
Core plot of the movie. A Ken is only happy when Barbie notices him. They tell you everything. But then when the Kens take power, the women have to serve them the whole time.
Yeah, it's especially important to mention, right, that like obviously Barbie Land is a matriarchy where women are in all positions of power.
Yeah.
They control the laws, everything that's done. They're in the prominent roles like doctor, etc. But in that system, unlike patriarchy, you know, men aren't overwhelming victims of domestic abuse. They're not being forced to bear children that they don't want. They're not in controlling like they're suffering none of the effects of patriarchy that women suffer in the real world. Of course, again, it's a cartoonish depiction of what the opposite. It's a reflection of the real world, but made into a cartoon like toy like movie. But again, they're both meant to be absurd. They're both meant to be viewed as like, yeah, this is not serving people very well. But of course, it's a movie.
And
right?
That like unequal depiction is part of why Barbie Land is satire.
Yeah.
That you have to go in and understand that everything that happens in Barbie Land is very unserious. Mm-hmm. These are jokes. It's all supposed to be just a heightened reality in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
It's for fun, just to show you that like, oh, ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And you can tell because when they're in the real world, things are taken very seriously.
Yeah.
When the movie is serious, it's serious. And when it's not, it's not. It's not hard to recognize.
Yeah, no, it was actually crazy. Also, I really liked about the movie, and this isn't even like in-depth media analysis.
Yeah.
I think this is pretty on the face of what the movie's supposed to be. I thought it was a pretty radical movie because one of the main plot points was like the Barbies that don't go into the real world. Well, I guess it's just the stereotypical Barbie that leaves. All the Barbies that stay behind, they end up being brainwashed because Ken discovers patriarchy and brings it back to Barbie Land. And the idea here is like just having Barbies as the sort of like supposed feminist icon isn't enough to deconstruct patriarchy, because when Ken brings it back, I think one of the main characters says they have no natural defense to patriarchy, right? They don't know how to deal with it because they've never been exposed to it. And in the beginning of the movie, I think the narrator does this sort of speech where it's like, all inequalities between men and women were resolved because of Barbies being introduced to the market. But pretty clearly, when patriarchy is brought back to Barbie Land, it shows that just the stereotypical ideological framework of Barbies and kind of womanhood made into consumerism isn't enough to deconstruct the forces of domination that patriarchy holds. And I thought the movie was pretty radical because what it's saying fundamentally is that the only real way to get out of that sort of social programming is to take on a more radical view where you're like, look at the ways you are being controlled. Mm-hmm. We need to deconstruct this from the inside and then seize power of our own.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a pretty rare. And again, this isn't like deep media analysis. I think this is it's what happened in the movie.
Exactly. Like, again, very on the nose. Like, it's very much the first half of the movie is a critique on liberal feminism.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I think it explicitly says that consumerism isn't going to save us here. Yeah. The free market isn't going to work things out here. What we need to do is take a more radical approach where we seize social and political power mm-hmm. for ourselves. And this isn't saying that we need to then turn and dominate men and make men second-class citizens. It pretty clearly says that we need to make things more equal and men need to be in a position that isn't in control of us.
Yeah.
Like, that's really all it's saying.
It's also interesting because, like, the Kens are incels. The Kens are incels. Yeah. They're just not violent.
Yeah.
Like, that's really all it is they feel entitled to Barbies because mm-hmm. they're Barbie and Ken. Society tells men that it's supposed to be a husband and a wife, the whole nuclear family thing, just like how Barbie Land and Mattel tell Kens that them and Barbie are supposed to be together. Yeah. And the whole movie goes through this length to tell men that they are enough just being themselves. Uh-huh. They don't need to define themselves by their relationship with someone else. Like, mm-hmm. You got to try so hard to not get this movie.
Yeah.
And the things that Ben Shapiro is critiquing about it in his 43-minute video aren't even things that, like, they critique about in politics, right? Mm-hmm. It's just all these surface level things like, oh, the Barbie movie is inconsistent because sometimes Barbie moves like a doll, but she doesn't always move like a doll.
He also says repeatedly that she's supposed to be stupid. I never got that any time throughout the film.
She's not.
She's pretty obviously portrayed as like a smart, I guess she's not a person, a smart being,
like,
right?
What a self-report.
Yeah. Like, no, he's just like, saying like she's a woman. She's supposed to be dumb.
Barbie's supposed to be this ditzy, like stupid character.
Yeah.
Because she's having fun in Barbie land. And
I
just
got
kinda
that nowhere
around.
Throughout the film. I didn't get it. Like, what I thought was like Ken is the dumb one, right?
He's
the one
that he's only a himbo.
Yeah. He only sees things surface level. He doesn't understand anything. He doesn't understand social relations. He doesn't understand things that are going on in Barbie land or in the real world. It's like it was so stupid.
Some of the parts
that I really liked from the movie, apart from like the deeper critique, is like when the movie first opened, it's a mock of Citizens United. Yes. I appreciated that.
Yes, that was good.
I don't know how much the average citizen knows about Citizens United, but I appreciated seeing that in the movie. I thought it was really funny.
I really loved all of the Ken stuff.
Yeah.
Was just gas.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling was perfect. He was born to be Ken.
Like, it was all very funny. The Ken. All the Ken shenanigans that he and the other Kens did, I thought was very funny. But I also think that the deeper critique that it offered was really good as well.
Oh, absolutely. 'Cause
I think a lot of men grow up and they, not in the same way, but discover patriarchy for mm-hmm. themselves, discover how men are in basically all positions of power, they control everything, and adopt a similar worldview that Ken did throughout the movie, where they're like, oh, well, I should be in the position of power, right? I should be able to control the world, but I feel powerless in and of myself. And it sort of it leads to him, as he did before, defining himself in relation to his relationship with Barbie, right? Mm-hmm. If she doesn't like me, then something is wrong. Not with me, not with how I view things, but with her.
Because
society
change
should
that.
Change around me. And I think a lot of men go through that. And I think ultimately the story that it told with Ken was one that probably a lot of men have gone through or still go
absolutely.
Through today.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I thought it was really good.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. And it doesn't take any like man-hating positions like conservatives
not at all.
Are saying, God, it's so...
Yeah, because the main thing Ben Shapiro said was like, he was like, the one of the core messages of the movie is that men and women have to just be separated. That's the only way they can exist. They should never be
and
together.
He took that from this narrative with Ken becoming his own person.
It obviously doesn't say that.
No.
No. It's like maliciously misunderstanding what the movie is saying. At no point did I think it was saying men and women can never be around each other, especially because some of the Ken and Barbies stayed together in their relationships, quote unquote. Like, at no point was I like, oh, this movie is saying men and women can never be together. It's saying that you should not define yourself based off your relationship with other people. You should be your own person and be healthy as your own person before getting into that kind of endeavor. It's pretty obvious, I think.
It is. You don't even have to think that hard. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole point, you don't really have to think that hard watching. Yeah. You can. you can certainly analyze Barbie and find these deeper meanings, really. You can look at the text, you can come to other conclusions, you can look at deeper analyses, but you don't really have to get the meat of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it very much does that for you, and it's fine.
Yeah, I also enjoyed the joke when Barbie is called a fascist, and she's like, but I don't even control the railroads or the flow of commerce.
Ben Shapiro did not enjoy that. Funny. He said, how would she know? She's supposed to be dumb.
Yeah, well, exactly.
The moment a woman says anything smart, Ben's like, no, she's supposed to be stupid.
You know when the daughter, what was her name, Sasha, I think,
yeah,
went on that rant where she was like yelling at Barbie. She's like, you're a fascist. You ruined everything for women nowadays, that kind of thing. I really like how Ben assumes that the audience is on the side of the girl.
Yeah.
When Barbie's the protagonist, right? Because if you haven't seen the movie, the scene, right, is that Barbie is looking for this girl that is supposedly going through this bad time because that's what's like screwing her up in Barbie land, right? That's what's causing all of her ailments. So she goes to find this girl. This girl's really mean to her, says all these hurtful things about how Barbie has harmed society and hurt womanhood, that kind of thing. And Ben Shapiro assumes that, like, liberals, I guess, are on the side of this girl calling her a fascist. But I thought it was pretty clear that, like, the girl is kind of being crazy.
Yeah,
like,
she's kind of little girl being a dickhead.
Yeah.
And the movie does not take the stance of the little girl.
Yeah.
The movie goes on to develop Barbie as, like, no, obviously in the beginning we learn that, okay, Barbie isn't enough. Barbie cannot be this icon that just saves women.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, right. Barbie can be something, but we need to do more.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take the stance of her that Barbie is this holy evil thing.
Yeah.
Nowhere. Ben Shapiro just hears the buzzwords, mm-hmm, and he instantly thinks this is leftist propaganda.
Especially because the young girl eventually sides with Barbie by the end of the film.
Yeah.
And like helps out the main conflict that's happening in the Kendom.
So sick name.
Obviously the film's not taking the side of what I'm guessing is a depiction of like the SJW types.
Mm. It's not.
It's so silly.
God, dude.
Really good movie though.
I can't stand conservative media takes.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you didn't see Oppenheimer, but I also thought Oppenheimer was very good.
Facts.
I enjoyed Barbie out of the two more.
What'd you see first?
I saw Oppenheimer first.
So,
it was a harrowing experience than to go into a very different film afterwards. And I saw Oppenheimer in IMAX, and movie crazy loud.
Yeah.
I think only magnified by IMAX.
Like Godzilla loud?
Yeah, no, it was.
Cool. Oh my God.
And like, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but there would be obviously, it's a matter of historical fact, like everything that happens in the movie. Oppenheimer is very haunted by everything that happened during the Manhattan Project. And so you'll randomly just get cuts away to like bombs exploding.
Holy shit.
Like he'll just be like imagining the effects of the bomb.
It's like, goddamn.
And like he'll just be staring and, you know, he'll like, it'll do the effect where like he deafens and he's not hearing people around him anymore. Then just bomb. And I thought that was a bit much, but I understand.
Yeah.
It's just movie being very loud and movie being all of 3 hours.
Every single minute of those 3 hours.
I feel like, again, I have pretty long stamina for media and watching things, but 3-hour-long movie is a bit much for me.
Then bro,
at some point, my brain starts telling me, like, this is too long.
See, I only saw Barbie because I'm a real American patriot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
none of that communist Oppenheimer propaganda.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Very surprised. There's some, like, pretty obviously radical themes in Oppenheimer that I'm surprised people aren't mad about.
Like, the end is, like, some McCarthyism shit, isn't it?
Well, of course, yeah. Oppenheimer's decried as a socialist, which, again, is, like, a communist, which is a matter of historical fact. They kind of berated him. And he did have communist ties when he was younger. I mean, like every person did back then, to be fair. Everyone that wasn't like blatantly pro-America. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was really good. And I'm surprised that people aren't, like, conservatives aren't more mad about it. Because I think Ben, in the opening of his video, said, like, Oppenheimer's the better of the two.
Well, I mean, one of them's about, like, a white guy. And the other is, like,
oh, it's all white guys.
Unashamed to be, well, Christopher Nolan, you know what I'm saying? And the other is, like, very unashamed to be, like, about women.
Yeah, I don't think I saw a single person of color in Oppenheimer.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
There's also, like, one joke the whole time.
Really?
Very different from Barbie.
Holy shit.
Very serious.
It's kind of like how there was that one, like, really, really, like, heartwarming moment in Barbie where she like looks at the older woman and she says, you're beautiful, and then she cries.
Yeah,
it's like just at the inverse of Oppenheimer. There's one moment where bro cracks a joke. There's one moment where Barbie cries, and there's one moment where Oppenheimer is happy.
Yeah, I saw that scene in Barbie. I thought was really good.
That was the best scene in the whole
movie. Mattel wanted to remove it.
What?
They thought it didn't fit in the scene.
Of all the things that Mattel would have wanted to remove, that
not
was
the cartoonist depiction of literally them. But the scene where, like, the pivotal character moment where Barbie is realizing that humanity is more than just living and dying. Shit. It's the full experience of human life. God. That's the scene they wanted to cut. I swear to God, bro, this is why creatives and, like, labor is so important. Corporations can't do shit on their own.
I'm surprised that Mattel even let this happen.
Yeah, well, I think it's one of those cases where a corporation sees dollar signs, they greenlight a project, and then the creators behind the project are more radical than the corporation would ever be.
Facts.
Because I saw something, I don't know if this is real, but apparently they want to make movie adaptations of, like, all of their IPs. So I guess, like, Uno's getting a movie.
Uno.
Hot Wheels is getting a movie.
Oh, that's actually sick, though.
So, and whatever else they got under the hood. Dude, I'm guessing Uno's going to be about the deep themes of betrayal and friendship.
Oh, it's got to be. Uno games are crazy. Easy. Yeah. Holy shit, but a Hot Wheels movie would be gas. You ever play those, like, old PS2 games?
Yeah, those are good. Yeah.
Those are good, man. Fuck.
So that's crazy.
It's good. And then in Barbie, when they first walked out of Barbie Land, and they immediately, like, feel the effects of it, Margot Robbie's like, I don't feel safe here.
Yeah.
And then Ken's like, no, this is actually sick. What are you talking about? That was good.
Yeah.
That was so fucking funny.
Yeah, I mean, the movie was only 2 hours long. It's only got so much time to dive into, like, the real world. So obviously things are going to be sped up, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't
like, she walks out, instantly gets catcalled.
You can't show Barbie just in the real world for years, slowly developing her takes on, like, feeling unsafe in cities around men. Like, obviously, you got to do it, like, immediately. You only got so much time to do it. It's not the Oppenheimer length. Otherwise, maybe you could show her whole life.
I bet. No, and then Ken talking to the doctor, and he's like, let me talk to a real doctor.
It was, like, Ken's kid, like, it was perfect. It was perfect. It was a really good movie.
Welcome back to the show, everybody.
Welcome back to Ed in the Office.
I hope you enjoyed the cold open this time.
Yeah, it was a quick section for you all about our media takes.
Yeah, really putting the media in Hitto Media LLC.
Exactly, yeah.
But now it's time to get right into the show.
I mean, it was cultural fanfare. We had to. I couldn't not indulge. You know what I'm saying?
You know me.
But anyway, getting into the episode, we're going to remind you all before we dive into the news today, get some merch. Headintheoffice.com. It's in the description.
Please.
Get yourself a t-shirt. Get your mother a t-shirt. Get your father a t-shirt. Wear it to when you go see Barbie if you haven't seen it already.
Back to school's coming up.
Exactly.
In the office, back to school fit. Come on.
Do something about it. Also, if you want to help the show and get access to episodes early, head over to Patreon, patreon.com/headintheofficepod. We really appreciate it. And maybe we'd give you a shout out at the end of each episode.
If you want to help the show out completely for free.
Completely
free. No charge for you.
Not at all.
Go ahead and leave a 5-star review on Apple like these wonderful people did. First, we have Blue Wave Incoming 2024 by Hosier Smitty. Voted Trump in 2016, voted Yo Jorgensen in 2020. That's
third
crazy.
Party. Third party.
Fucking voted blue in 2022, voted blue in 2024. This podcast is essential in reassuring you when you move from the right to the left. Cheers from Indiana.
Mm-hmm. A big Biden voter over
getting
here.
Getting some Indiana representation. Let's go.
Yeah. Very proud of you.
Voting. Was Joe Jorgensen Green Party?
I think Tea
Party?
Maybe. Or Libertarian
Party. Not Tea
Party.
That's the fucking...
Who knows? I don't remember. Third party candidate, though. That's all that matters.
Golly.
Next one here is by Kamek1. Inspires us to do better. They say, hey guys, love the show so much. Recently saw it come across my TikTok For You page and started listening to the full show. I showed it to my friend and co-host of our leftist podcast, and it gives us a lot of inspiration to make our show as great as it can be. I always appreciate the competition.
Of course. Yeah. I'm a capitalist, really.
We are also Midwestern leftists trying to spread the news and fun times, so I'm glad that we're not alone. Keep it going. And if you want to check out slash shout out, Two Lefties Get It Right, hey, that's your call.
I guess we called it.
That's their podcast name.
I guess we called it. I love the competition. You know, in the words of my favorite president, Joe Biden, I'm a capitalist.
Exactly.
And capitalism without competition isn't capitalism.
That's right. Precisely.
Hell yeah. The next one, Banger Podcast by Benjamin But Not Franklin. Mm. I started listening to Hitto in March, and I've been listening nonstop since. Jeremy and Gage have the ability to deliver the horrifying news from our dystopian country and still manage to get me to laugh along with them. Hitto is absolutely my favorite podcast, and I look forward to it every Wednesday. Mm. Though, I hope to join the Patreon soon. Keep up the great work, boys. I hope you join the Patreon soon, too.
Turn that that Wednesday to a Sunday, brother.
That's right. That's right. Join the sermon.
Last review here. Proof the Future Has Hope by Chris from Southern Indiana. Chris
two
says,
Indiana in one review.
That's crazy. You guys are absolute proof that the future is in good hands. As a 40-year-old guy stuck in Southern Indiana, surrounded by MAGA, as far as the eye can see, you bring hope that our country isn't completely screwed. You are what I want my sons to be.
Let's go.
Absolutely unafraid to say what you think and never apologizing for it. Keep up the great work. I appreciate that.
What can we say? What can we say? We got one more from Instagram.
Oh, right.
Coming through here. I missed it last week. I'm a fool, really. Yeah. But this one's from, man, I'm going to fuck this up. Naman Fan, the woke mind virus has reached the corners of the globe. Aussie hailing from Perth, the world's most isolated city. The woke mind virus truly has gone global. My brother put me onto the show, and then I put my friend onto the show. Antarctica won't be safe for long. We love to tune in every week to listen to these quirked up white boys deliver the news on the dismal state of American politics. I love getting the sufficient rhetoric, correct opinions, to dunk on the conservatives who sit behind me in English class, hit who is invading our schools. Mm-hmm. They never miss and always have great takes. Now go and become a Sunday supremacist at patreon.com/headintheofficepod to support the indoctrination of our children into the Hiddo media conglomerate. P.S. I fuck with time thievery, as do I.
Maybe next episode for the reviews, we'll do a little competition where instead of us reading out, you know, the stuff at the beginning where we're shouting ourselves out, we'll do a competition. Whoever can write us the best prose
for
all of
one.
Our links, we'll read that or on the show.
See if we can like piece them together throughout multiple different reviews. The only one they missed right there is we're transing your gender.
Exactly.
Well, it's been confirmed.
That has been an operation.
It's been confirmed.
Yeah,
so
for sure. I think it's time to get into the news.
Absolutely.
I want to start off this news story with a question.
Okay.
So Gage, do you think Nazis are good?
Hot take. Mm-hmm. Hot take. There are no good Nazis.
Okay. Would you hire a Nazi? Say, if you were running, I don't know, for president of the United States, and you were assumed to be the second runner, the second right behind the front runner, Donald Trump?
See, you know, being me and being optically minded, I feel like that would be a bad new move for the optics of my campaign.
Purely for optics.
Purely for optics, as I need to appeal to so many different people. Also morally wrong, I might add.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I mean, I would have to agree, but Ron DeSantis had a different take on that question. This is a news story we missed last week because, of course, all good newsworthy things happen on Mondays.
Every single time we're victims.
This was an ad / a video that was reposted or just posted directly onto DeSantis's personal Twitter account.
The
Ron DeSantis Twitter account. And I would play it. It's mostly music, so this would probably get taken down.
Okay.
But at the very end, pretty blatantly, there's just a Nazi symbol. It just, and it's not like a flash. It's not like a quick blink it and you would have missed it.
Is it like a niche one?
8 seconds of the black sun just at the end of the video. And the black sun was this symbol that, we're not going to put it on screen because, again, might get taken down. But it's the symbol that parts of the Nazi regime used. Hitler used the symbol.
Oh,
and somebody,
goodness.
who the guy who made this ad just put that symbol.
8 seconds is crazy.
Yeah.
That's like a long time.
Did you not see the video at all?
No, I didn't.
Well, I'll show you the frame that it ended
on. No, what the fuck is that?
This is just Ron DeSantis.
Is that an army of people in gray fatigues?
Yeah, standing in front of, and it was DeSantis here. He's like fading, and then it's just the black sun spinning. Over I think this is like the Florida crest or something like that.
So,
again, can't show this on screen because it would get taken down.
I remember that symbol because I remember when the Ukraine conflict first kicked off, there's like a picture that the AP took that somebody took. There was a Ukrainian soldier with a black sun flag, and it was like this whole controversy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's already been national news within like the last year and a half, bro. Like, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And the black sun in front of people in gray army gear is wild.
And it's not this like niche logo, I don't think. I think most people know what the black sun is when they see it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because a lot of the time with Nazi symbols, when you see them, you may not know like the exact name of what it is, but when you see them, you're like, oh yeah, that looks kind of fascist.
Yeah, like, I don't know what the eagle is called, but like I know what the eagle means.
Yeah, so we can't play it here, can't really show it here. If you want to find it, I'm sure you can just Google it or look it up on Twitter and you'll find it again. But yeah, it's a pretty unambiguous symbol that is just associated with the Nazis that was posted on Ron DeSantis' Twitter account. On his personal Twitter account as a sort of campaign video. And the video itself is all these like, what are they called? Like Soy Jacks, Wojacks,
whatever. Yeah, the Wojacks.
It's all like the sad ones where it's like playing Donald Trump didn't get as much done on immigration as he should have. Donald Trump didn't build the wall, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
And then it's Ron DeSantis promises to kill 45,000 immigrants or, you know, so it's whatever. It's like the gay one. Remember the gay one?
I remember the gay one.
Like that with some music behind it. And at the end, it's just Nazi symbols. Ron DeSantis.
Virgin Trump didn't kill immigrants. Yes. Ron DeSantis will.
That's exactly what it was. And so I'm guessing, and this is what I first thought. My first thought was like, okay, Ron DeSantis staffer, like some fan made this, and Ron DeSantis staffer just downloaded it, posted it, didn't know what the symbol
was. Oh yeah, that's cool. Like, what a cool hype video for Ron.
But now I'm learning that it was one of his staffers that like created this. And his name is Nate Hotchman. Okay.
Oh, that right there should have told you.
He's a young guy. He's a member of like, and this isn't like an official organization, it's just like an ideological trend. The new young right.
That already sounds fashy. There's no way around it.
He used to be a writer for the National Review, which I'm pretty sure is a right-wing news organization, news publication. He's this a Nazi, as we know now. I think he had ties to neo-Nazi groups in the past, and the DeSantis campaign hired him. He made this video where it just had explicitly a Nazi symbol. They've since fired him, but I'm guessing it's only because he took the mask off a little bit too much.
I guess so. Yeah. I guess so. Maybe this one wasn't because they couldn't afford him, which is crazy because like if they just fired him, he already made it through the rounds of layoffs.
Yeah,
he must have been a standout guy in the Ron DeSantis campaign.
Yeah, he only got fired for this video specifically.
Exactly, the company you keep, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. Now, of course, the issue with the new young right is that they're all fascists.
Yeah,
they're all just neo-Nazis basically. But I think the ideological line they're towing right now, because it can't be blatantly Nazism.
Yeah.
It's that Trump was he was the soy beta male that didn't go as far as he should have. He wasn't ideologically committed to what they want to see done, which is fascism. Yep. And Ron DeSantis will be the guy to do it because DeSantis hates minorities for the love of the game, baby.
He's been pushing the legislation through.
Florida
a worse place.
Trump just does the grift. DeSantis actually wants to kill trans people.
Yeah. that's why we want him in power, baby. Yeah. Come on.
I think that's about where this story ends, but I thought it was a pretty crazy video.
Damn, that's good. And I mean, speaking of like Ron DeSantis and greater like Florida news, if you remember last week when we recovered the Florida Department of Education and Ron DeSlavery wasn't entirely bad,
<That's good. laughs>
double down on the claim that enslaved black people learned beneficial skills during their enslavement that helped them in later in life. That's not the only banger that the Florida Department of Education has come out with recently.
Mm-hmm.
So this week they came through and said that they made PragerU an official vendor for Florida schools, approving the use of their videos within teachers' curriculums.
You're telling me the Florida Department of Education said PragerU,
an official vendor,
Prager University.
That's right.
Should be used in classrooms.
And I guess like it is important to note that this doesn't mean that like PragerU is a part of Florida state curriculum, but it does mean that teachers can show PragerU videos as part of their like individualized curriculums.
PragerU videos,
and not be reprimanded for it.
The PragerU video that's most memorable to me is the one where they call John Brown a radical abolitionist rather than like a hero.
It's also like not entirely right to say that they just call John Brown a radical abolitionist. Okay. They did that in the context of praising Robert E. Lee.
Praising a slave owner.
Because I think the whole context of the video was, guys, we shouldn't be taking down statues. Look at all the cool things Robert E. Lee did.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped a slave rebellion.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to get into, really, because here's a list of their bangers. Obviously, we have that one. I think that's their most famous one in recent memory.
They took it down.
They did. Yeah. They also have a famous video of Dinesh D'Souza, friend of the show, really great guy, claiming that fascism was a left-wing idea.
Oh, classic. That form of Holocaust denialism, by the way.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
They titled another video, Fossil Fuels, the Greenest Energy. So good. And this one,
you got to keep in mind that PragerU is funded by oil billionaires, by the way.
Yep.
Gotta
and
keep that in
this
mind.
This last one isn't even really a fault of PragerU as an institution, more just highlighting its founder and the ideas that he holds.
Mm-hmm.
He has published not one, but two articles defending spousal rape.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis Prager.
That's a classic Dennis Prager movie.
Titled, When a Woman Isn't in the Mood, Part 1 and Part 2. And I have to kind of just like hijack this to shit on Dennis Prager here. Because one of his points, point 2, why would a loving, this is a quote from his article, quote, why would a loving, wise woman allow mood to determine whether or not she will give her husband one of the most important expressions of love she can show him? What else in life of such significance do we allow to be governed by mood?
Holy shit, dog. That's like the whole point.
What if your husband woke up one day and announced that he was not in the mood to go
No, this is how I know Dennis Prager's had sex one time in his entire life. This is exactly how I know.
What if I wasn't in the mood to go to work, huh? Could I just not go to work?
It's not, and he views sex as labor.
He's been married like many times too. He has not been able to keep a wife.
Oh my God, that's like the most backward way of viewing sex, by the way.
Yeah,
it's this thing that women have to give to men, not like a mutually beneficial
not
experience.
Like intimate because both of you want to be there and be in the moment. It's why women should be sex dolls.
Yeah.
Part one and part two.
Yeah, why you should be totally under my control.
Like the double down is nuts.
Uh-huh.
The double down is crazy.
It didn't need a sequel.
And that's the founder of PragerU. Yeah. PragerU's namesake, if you will.
That's crazy. And that's going to be in your Florida schools. That shit should be banned.
That's
everywhere.
What I'm saying.
It should be a crime
absolutely
to show that.
No right to be in anywhere near any institution of education,
no,
lower or higher.
PragerU has got some crazy. I mean, it's a propaganda tool.
Of course.
Is really what it is. Again, it's funded by oil billionaires. They're mm-hmm. obviously in the pocket of those people, and they are very much incentivized to say that oil is a clean energy, but they're also just demons.
Oh, yeah, they're just bad.
Because, like, what big lobby is making Dennis Prager say that, like, spousal rape is okay, part
oh,
one,
that's
part
just
two?
Him.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
He loved
yeah.
the game, baby. Like, he just feels the need to do it. And DeSantis
Nobody's
is like
paying him to do that. If anything, they're paying the opposite.
DeSantis is like, this is gas.
If anything, they paid Dennis to not publish part three.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's got ideas cooking.
Yeah, you always gotta wonder, like, what are conservatives in the media not saying, right?
Because
they be putting out some crazy takes.
What's the wild shit that lives inside your head?
Yeah, right. Like, we look at a guy like Steven Crowder putting on a crazy black scent anytime he covers anything mm-hmm. that
Any
has to do with
opportunity
people of color.
That
yeah.
he has. Really.
Anytime he can be racist, he does racism.
Uh-huh.
You gotta wonder what he's like. Oh, that's too far. I shouldn't do that. Especially because it just came out like 2 weeks ago that Steven Crowder like was sending dick pics to coworkers like
oh, that's
unprompted
good. That it,
just
we,
showing
we
penis,
covered that we
showing
covered
penis,
that a while
yeah.
ago. It's yeah, you know, especially when he puts on KKK robes to be yeah. like, guys, aren't they funny though?
And that's what he does on camera, uh-huh. right? Like he's got to be thinking some crazy thoughts.
Me when I put on the most fucking vicious, evil, diabolical black scent that I could imagine.
For clicks. And then just he wonders, clicks. Like, why am I demonetized? This is censorship. Oh, man.
Shout out, Steven. Shout out, Steven.
In our last bit of DeSantis news, I believe, unless
okay.
you got more up your sleeve, I wanted to touch on what he said in an interview last Wednesday. Somebody asked him, some NBC, no, maybe not NBC, somebody was interviewing him.
Okay.
And he was asked what he thinks of RFK as a potential vice presidential running mate. Mm-hmm. And this is what Ron DeSantis had to say. He said, quote, if you're president, you know, sick him, being Kennedy, on the FDA, if he'd be willing to serve, or sick him on the CDC. But in terms of being Veep, there's, you know, 70% of issues that he may be averse to on our base.
What the fuck would qualify Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to be the head of, like, the science part of the government?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Is DeSantis saying that he would appoint someone to the CDC with absolutely no background in medicine, virology, or anything else?
Not even like an associate's.
Yeah.
Not even like he dabbled in college.
Yeah, it should tell you who Ron DeSantis uh-huh. is and who RFK Jr. is right away.
Quite literally some guy that just did his own research.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we don't think RFK Jr. is qualified for
no.
the position.
No, no,
and
no,
you know
no.
who agrees with us?
Who?
Mike Pence.
Nice.
Here's what Mike Pence had to say. He said, he was asked about this in relation to
okay.
DeSantis' answer, and Mike Pence said, when I'm president, I will only consider pro-life Americans to lead the FDA, CDC, or HHS. Pro-abortion Democrats like RFK Jr. wouldn't even make the list. His objection is not that he knows nothing about what it takes to like run the CDC, but that he's pro-abortion. That's the sticking point.
It's already funny hearing Mike Pence say, when I'm president, acting like he's a serious
yeah, I caught
fucking
the laugh.
Candidate.
Yeah.
But God, dude, the whole thing is just so absurd.
Yeah, it's not the anti-Semitism.
No.
It's not the anti-vax conspiracy theories. It's not any of the other like QAnon adjacent things that he does. It's abortion.
He said,
that's
one,
the-
I'm going to lie to you and say I'm going to be president. And two, yeah. I'm going to stake this campaign on the most divisive issue that my side is losing.
Mm-hmm. Mike Pence is sick. He has not made it to the debate stage, by the way.
He hasn't?
I think just about everyone else has. I think Christie's pretty close.
No way. No way Christie gets in before the former vice president.
Chris Christie, a fucking governor of New Jersey. I think, right? New Jersey?
I guess. I think it was one of them. I'm cruising for Christie. Come on, let's go.
Yeah,
let's get
him. We need Christie on that debate stage, but Mike Pence has not made it. I think just about everyone else has made it, though. I think our boy Burgum's going to make it.
Really?
Yeah, the dude who's just giving out $19.
We should hop on that.
Should. We should or should have. I don't know if should it's have. Been
there. I don't know if the opportunity came and went. But
it worked. It worked for Vivek. All of our homies are making it up there. Very excited for that.
Shit, Vivek might be able to take this and just run with it.
Less than a month away.
Do Herbalife.
Less than a month away.
August 22nd or 23rd?
23rd, I believe.
23rd.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's
we're going to see all of our friends, except probably Trump. I don't think he's going to go. Mm. I keep feeling like he's not going to go the closer we get. Mm. But at least we'll see DeSantis taking blows from everybody else.
Yeah, we'll get to see like Vivek and DeSantis. I feel like the two people with personalities up there.
Yeah, it's
like,
going to be
say something.
It's going to be the racism transphobia competition. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot of woke thrown around. Mm-hmm.
DeSantis is going to be like, actually, Tim Scott doesn't hate trans people enough. he's not nervous enough about wokeness. You know, in Florida, I actually that's gonna be what happens, and I'm very excited.
That's
for
good.
It.
That's gonna be so good. Yeah. You think we could live stream that?
Absolutely.
Oh my god,
keep a lookout.
It's not
Fox.
On CNN.
Keep a lookout. No, Fox News, baby. Come on,
goodness.
You know, Fox loves the viewers.
Freedom, come on.
Yeah, Freedom News is what I call Fox News.
It's good. It's good.
Moving on to our next news story, I think the latter half of this episode is gonna be dedicated
labor.
To labor. Yeah, it's a hot labor summer, and we're talking about UPS. You may have, you may remember. A couple weeks ago, 2-3 weeks. We covered more about the writer's strike and the actors going on strike. We mentioned, of course, that UPS was getting ready to head on strike, which might still happen, but it looks like we might have an agreement out of UPS Teamsters that could avert a massive strike ahead of
a massive
strike day.
Blow to the economy as well.
Yeah. The story's still developing, of course. We may miss some details before Wednesday, as typically happens with big stories like this that we cover, but just last week, a lot of news came out celebrating a deal that was struck between the negotiators for Teamsters and UPS that could avert a devastating strike. But still, the deal needs to be approved by a majority of the 340,000-plus workers at UPS. This, of course, comes at a time when economic indicators are pretty good for Biden and the Democrats right now. Right, inflation's down. Mm-hmm. GDP is up. Recession is no longer being predicted. Unemployment is down. Things are looking pretty good for Biden generally.
Yeah.
Even if people aren't feeling it, which I know is a different optics question. Mm-hmm. Generally, though, according to all measures that we have available to us, it's looking good, but a strike would ruin all of that.
Oh, yeah. Kill it. Yeah. Fucking, what was it when we covered it? $7.1 billion the economy would lose if they went on strike.
And don't get us wrong. That totally in favor of that.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah. If they're not getting what they need, if they don't get their demands answered, then yeah, the economy should suffer.
But Biden is totally not for that.
Yeah.
Because that's going to hurt when it comes to the election.
Let's get into some of the wins first, and then we can talk about some of the optics.
Word.
So they did get a couple of good things out of negotiations so far. They got starting part-time pay raised to $21 an hour, which is up from $15.50, which is pretty sick. Mm-hmm. Top hourly rate for full-time workers was increased to $49 an hour. I don't remember what the number was, but it's an increase. So.
Okay.
It's always good. They are going to hire more full-time positions. There's going to be AC cooling in all the trucks, which is especially important in places like Arizona, California, et cetera, where it gets to like 150 degrees inside the tin can that
and
you're driving around.
Expanding on the more full-time positions, in the AP article I read, I think it's also that they're getting rid of the shitty part-time positions.
Yeah.
So it's strictly like they're just getting more full-time people in and just getting rid of the option to be this weird part-time thing.
Yeah, yeah. They're also doing MLK Day as a paid day off, which I guess was something that they didn't have before.
That's crazy.
And there was something, I didn't see specifics on this, but something about the insane shifts they have to work is changing.
Okay.
Remember when we covered, it was like you have to work first and third, you get like 4 hours to sleep.
Yep.
It's something crazy like that. They're fixing that to some extent, although I don't know exactly what it is. But yeah, it's all pretty good stuff. None of it's bad, of course.
I know there's also an end to the two-tier system, the two-tier wage system that they're doing. That's out the window now.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Which is all good. But as you may have caught, I implied a little bit that there's some people that are not very happy with this deal.
Real.
They're happy that things are changing, things are looking up, but of course the demand was for $25 an hour for part-time pay. $21 an hour currently isn't really a raise given inflation trends. And there's also some other contentions within the deal, so it is not by any means guaranteed to pass. And in fact, I think there's some factions inside of UPS Teamsters that are like, hey, we should not vote for this deal. We didn't get what we wanted, mm-hmm. which is like, I mean, if they get to that point, before there's, and they have to end up going on strike, then UPS should have been better.
Facts. Company should have been better. I think they have what, like 3 weeks to vote.
Yeah.
I think the voting starts ends August 22nd.
Yeah.
Like a couple, like the day before the day of the Republican debate.
Oh, so
really
cool.
Everything is just hinging around that moment. And I'm excited.
God. It's like in a TV show where all the storylines come together and
it's
intersect.
It's like when Wizards of Waverly Place went on the Sweet Life on Deck shift and Hannah Montana showed up.
Oh my God.
That's what's happening right now in American politics.
Despite all of this, of course, politicians and a lot of the media, including liberal media, have already spiked the football on this.
Of course.
This pretty obviously serves to make it harder for the union to reject the deal.
Mm, it's pressure.
Yeah, if they spike the football and say, like, everything is perfect, we're really happy you got a deal, let's, you know, keep the economy going, it's a lot harder for the union to maintain positive optics while voting down the deal. Because people are always like, or people are already like, hey, everything's perfect, don't worry, consumers.
Yeah.
So it makes it harder for them to say no.
Because then it makes it way easier to push this narrative that the greedy worker is trying to claw too much away from the company. They're taking more than they're giving in. It all makes that all easy. And it's a part of this like structure that we have that is very implicit, that acts to implicitly shift the balance of power towards the corporations whenever negotiations happen. And that kind of leads me into the next story that we have in Fetterman proposing a bill to allow striking workers to receive federal food aid in what's called the Food Secure Strikers Act of 2023. From The Intercept, this act would, quote, repeal a restriction on striking workers receiving SNAP benefits, protect food stamp eligibility for public sector workers fired for striking, and clarify that any income eligible household can receive SNAP benefits even if a member of that household is on strike.
I didn't know that you couldn't get SNAP benefits if you were striking.
I guess it makes sense considering like the politics of the people who make these laws.
Well, of course, right?
It's bonkers,
yeah.
Right? Because that's a part of these implicit things that just take away power from people on strike. Yeah. The corporations don't have to worry about starving when there's a strike. They just have to worry about, I don't know, their profits being cut into.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to worry about losing their homes. They don't have to worry about not being able to pay their mortgages, not being able to pay their groceries, not being able to pay their childcare.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a bill that, if it passes, would help shift that balance back to laborers.
Exactly.
Because now that's one less thing to worry about when you're considering authorizing a strike.
Yeah.
Now you don't have to worry like, okay, I need these raises. I need these benefits changes. This contract is not working for me. I already can't afford food right now. I'm food insecure. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. But if I go on strike, these things are going to get worse because strike funds aren't guaranteed.
Well, and the thing is, if you're a person that relies on SNAP benefits to get by month over month, then chances are that you're not working in a place that is paying you very well.
Uh-huh.
And striking is one of the really only ways to improve your workplace conditions and the benefits and compensation that you receive.
Yeah.
So you'd be doubly screwed if you're on strike, not getting paid what you're normally getting paid, and you can't receive the benefits that you rely on to keep your family afloat. So it only, like if you are on SNAP benefits and you depend on that and you can't strike, otherwise you lose those benefits, then there's not really a choice to be made. It's a form of structural coercion to keep you in place, not pushing back against a system that is demanding profit off of you.
Or even if you make enough to not qualify for SNAP benefits and you're still struggling to make it by because qualifications are super low, just being able to go on those benefits while you're struggling, if you don't have much saved up or if whatever strike fund isn't paying out as much as you need, is just a good thing.
Yeah.
Strictly a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Even in a especially in a consumerist economy where it relies on people spending money in order for it to run. Unions are actively keeping the economy afloat.
That's like the whole reason why the 2008 auto crisis happened.
Yeah.
Because like when the financial crisis happened, when all these things happened with loans, like people couldn't buy cars anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so the auto companies just went kaput. They went under. GM needed to be bailed out like 50 something billion dollars.
Yeah.
Like all the auto companies needed to be bailed out. Crazy.
Also, one of the main reasons just the 2008 financial crisis happened in general, people didn't have the money.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's a symptom of our broader economy. Right, it's just the we've talked about it all the time, but the way in which wealth is siphoned from the bottom to the top engenders all kind of massive problems that only the people at the bottom feel. The people losing the wealth are the ones that feel the economic catastrophe. Those at the top either always get bailed out or are able to just take it on the nose because they have the money to soak up that damage.
God,
but regular people always eat it. And the only way, and I've said this before, the only way that we can save our economy and make it so we aren't constantly going crisis after crisis, wandering aimlessly into every rake we can step on, is if we do a massive investment in infrastructure and if we put more money into the pockets of poor and working people. It's the only way to do it.
And
universal programs.
One of those ways to put more money into workers' pockets, striking.
And heading over to patreon.com.
That's what I'm going to go on strike, really. Unless more people hop on the Patreon, I'm going to go on strike, yeah, just like UAW workers might.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and that leads us to our next story. Segways, speaking of the auto crisis, speaking of things that relate to that, negotiations between UAW and Ford, Stellantis, and General Motors, the three like big auto, yeah, companies, start over the next 2 weeks.
Oh shit!
So this week it's Ford and Stellantis. Next week it's General Motors. Mm-hmm. Sean Fain, UAW's new president, has already signaled what key issues in these upcoming negotiations will be, and that he is willing to strike, like willing, right, to try and get a strike going if these aren't met. At the top of the priority list is ensuring union members have a place within the changes coming as the industry shifts towards electric vehicles by getting his foot in the door at battery plants.
Mm-hmm.
Other top priorities include general pay raises, elimination of wage tiers, kind of like at UPS,
mm-hmm,
restoring cost of living pay, which is something that should just be in place everywhere.
Yeah.
Like your pay should kind of be based on cost of living. I feel like that's not a hot take.
If aliens ever did come down to Earth.
What the fuck are you doing?
What the hell is cost of living?
They'd be like, wait, what do you mean you can't live where you work?
Yeah, wait, what do you mean you have to afford to live? What, yeah,
huh?
What are you talking about?
Anyway, they want to halt plant closing, so obviously keep jobs. Mm-hmm. And they also want to restore pensions for new hires that were axed in 2008 in order to help keep the companies afloat after the auto crisis. Mm-hmm. So really, that last one isn't even about like getting something extra. They're, yeah, not even like clawing for more. The greedy worker isn't even trying to get more. They're just trying to get what they had before. No,
this is for you, dog.
Yeah.
This is for you.
And there's gonna be a lot more news like coming about the strike in the coming weeks, especially if negotiations aren't going well.
Yeah.
We have until September 14th for the new contract, for the current contract to be up.
That's crazy. I mean, if we had UPS and UAW at the same time,
that'd be nuts.
That would be bad for the economy. Uh-huh. But you know what? I mean, if our economy relies so much on their labor that them striking destroys the economy, maybe we should pay them better.
Facts.
Yeah, that seems like it's not a hot
take.
Maybe
we should do whatever we can to avoid these strikes instead, uh-huh, of doing whatever we can to bust these strikes.
And like similar to the writers, similar to UPS, similar to just about every strike that we've covered, these workers are not asking for much.
No, they make like $60,000 a year, and they're asking, hey, maybe I should be able to make like a little more than,
yeah,
that.
Well, and in some cases, they're asking for corporations to not actively destroy the industry they're in, mm-hmm, like with AI or with these pension increases, et cetera.
Yeah.
Like they're asking, please make it so these jobs will exist in the future.
Exactly.
So you don't just kneecap yourself and destroy the economy while you're at it.
Because one of the issues is at like battery plants, the top wage is $20 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So if these workers were to transition from their current production lines on combustion engines to battery plants, which the industry is transitioning to, huge, mm-hmm, investments being made, they're just taking a massive pay cut.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they're trying to protect themselves against that, which is very reasonable.
Another reminder that the government should be doing everything to facilitate this, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Dropping the ball once again.
I mean, shit, bro. Speaking of the government.
Yeah, speaking of the government, we got a couple extra news stories here at the end that I think are pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty big news stories this week that... They weren't really long news stories, so I didn't feel it was worth making a whole
little
section
tidbits
for them on their own. But yeah, they're fun tidbits. The first one, of course, is UFOs. We didn't talk about that. I haven't talked to you about this at all. What's your take? There was a whole hearing about UFOs and aliens.
Yeah, and some like intelligence official under oath said the U.S. is in possession of biological matter that isn't of this earth or,
yeah,
some shit like,
yeah,
that. And UFOs.
And UFOs. We have the ships.
My take is that I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Really? Because like, bro's probably talking out of his ass.
Yeah. And bro doesn't work for the government.
Yeah.
He's some other organization. My take is that I feel like, I don't know if it's as far as like a psyop, because like, who is this convincing? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen really anybody be like, oh, aliens are 100% real.
Like
now.
It's unserious.
Yeah. I don't think it's as far as a psyop. I think it's just like maybe an attempt by some section or organization within the Department of Defense to get more, mm-hmm, money for some coup that they're trying to run. I don't think it's that serious.
If it is like a genuinely serious thing and this was like actual information that he leaks, everyone's like, oh, he said it under oath. Bro would have been shot in the head like three times
right,
already.
Yeah. Heart attack
he
gun.
Never would have fucking made it to that courthouse.
They would have vaporized him with the alien spaceship.
They'd,
yeah,
have done anything that they could.
Yeah.
They'd have traded him for another alien, just a little swap meet real quick. He wouldn't have got there. Like,
My personal theory was that this testimony only happened to boost the audience numbers for Secret Invasion on Disney+.
Oh,
came out at the
sick
same time.
I mean, we already know that Marvel works with DOD to get some funding sometimes.
Exactly.
Like on Captain Marvel to get those planes planes. They're already working together.
They did a little publicity stunt, and they were like, get someone in Congress that'll make people like think about aliens and want to watch some.
Bro
some
gets up there under oath. He's like, yeah, they're here, and they just want home in their own skin.
Mm-hmm. And they're occupying key positions in the United States government and world governments.
Of course, naturally.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't really think too much of this.
I didn't think too much. I saw it one day. I saw everybody's freaking out, and then like everyone also forgot in like 2 days, which is also like a testament to how unserious it is.
Yeah. Well, my initial reaction was like, oh shit, this could be a big deal.
That's what I thought too.
But then I remembered that like RFK was in a hearing last week and bro just lied the whole time.
Yeah.
Like they played a clip of him saying the thing about Jewish people being able to avoid COVID, Jewish and Chinese people. And he was just like, I didn't say that. Because I remembered like, oh, you can just lie in congressional hearings.
Yeah,
and that's
like,
fine.
Okay, yeah, under oath. But like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
What's really going to happen if you lie? Everyone lies at congressional hearings.
What, Congress police going to come get me?
Yeah.
They don't have any. Come on now. They're not going to do that. The next extra fun news story I wanted to talk about. I don't know if you saw anything about this.
I haven't. I haven't seen anything about these next two.
The U.S. House of Representatives is considering unimpeaching Donald
Trump.
You
can do that?
No. The Republican House, Kevin McCarthy, says that he wants to expunge Donald Trump's impeachment records.
Wow.
Talk about just having the full shaft of Donald Trump down your throat.
God,
that is the,
that's crazy.
The most cucked thing you can do. Not a real thing, by the way.
And it wasn't even one of the terms of getting his speakership. Like, half of, like, 75-80% of what he's been doing for the past year was just deals that he had to make in order to get his position. Uh-huh. This is just for the love of the game.
Yeah, this is how you really know that impeachment as a political institution or as a function of our political institutions is just totally a joke.
It doesn't
now.
Fucking matter.
It doesn't fucking matter. As soon as I saw Joe Biden was impeached for the crisis at the border, I knew it was unserious, and now they want to unimpeach Donald Trump. Come on now. What are we talking about?
Man, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Expunging him like he like got caught with weed when he was a child.
Expunging his
when he was in high school.
Well, and my thought is like this would just make it worse for Trump because they'd just be bringing up all the details again. Because, right, if you're
would they have to have a hearing to say that this is false?
You would assume, right? Like, you would assume there'd have to be a like the Judiciary Committee gets together, the Intelligence Committee or whatever, and they do the whole trial again where they vote to expunge his record. The House takes away the impeachment or whatever. You would assume that they'd have a whole trial again, but
would they have to do more fact-finding, which would then just go to the current court case that he's got?
Yeah, maybe. Like, who knows?
Maybe they should unimpeach him. Shit.
I feel like it wouldn't be a good thing, but optically, I don't think it's a thing that'll really happen, but I just think, Kevin McCarthy's got the shaft in his mouth.
Man, what a guy.
Boy, he's just choking on
what
it.
Egg, just
begging for air of any kind. Just will do anything for just an ounce of peace. And I hope he doesn't get it.
Bro's mascara is running down his face right now. He's crying.
He's struggling. Another piece of Trump news is that he got indicted again.
Again, okay.
I think this is
what's
just
this one for?
Another charge that's added on to the documents case.
Okay.
More like obstruction of Congress charge. It's just getting worse for him, basically.
No, there are so many things that I feel like every day I see a new charge gets added on.
Yeah.
And every day I see some like thing that's like, oh yeah, this shit is bad for him. Mm-hmm. Like he's cooked.
Yeah. I don't really know the details on this one. I kind of just assumed it's bad. I saw it wasn't a brand new charge, so I figured it's like, obviously it's big news, you know, former president getting charged with crime.
It doesn't feel like it anymore.
But it's not as big as like a whole new set of crimes being brought up.
It's not as juicy as if it was like murder.
Yeah. Well, if it was murder, it probably wouldn't do anything to him.
That's true.
He's running for president. He can't be arrested.
Famously, if he shot somebody on Fifth Avenue.
Precisely. And the last extra news story is that Mitch McConnell shit his pants while giving a press conference.
Dude, he just sat there and he just stared. He stared like he just saw, like, I don't know, everything that's ever scared him in his entire life. Like, mm-hmm. he just stared the devil in the face. Like, in that moment, it's like the weight of all of his sins just... He felt it.
Yeah. I've seen some people say he was having a stroke or something like that was happening. But, you know, my enemy's ontologically evil and so. Look, man,
he's fine now.
Old man suffering. You don't want to see people suffer, but bro has caused untold suffering onto the American people. You'd have to forgive me if I don't have too much sympathy for this guy.
He, like, looks like he got caught in a genjutsu or some shit. He looked like he sat there for, like, 10,000 years and suffered in that instant. Yeah.
He couldn't comprehend what was in front of his eyes. Everything flashed in front of his eyes.
Everything flashed.
It was just like Oppenheimer.
I'm saying the unbearable weight of his sins, it got to him finally.
Or maybe he just shit himself and didn't know what to do.
See, that it could have been. Mm-hmm. It could have been. I was talking to one of my friends, and they're like, look at how the person behind him keeps looking down. Keeps looking down, like, mm-hmm. right at his butt area, right at his, like, Maybe he shit himself. Which, old man, I wouldn't put it past him.
Would imply to me that it's happened before. If he's looking down, he's like, fuck.
He's not like, again. Shit, dude, we forgot the diapers.
It can't be worth it working in his office for him, like being a staffer for Mitch McConnell.
Absolutely not. What do you got to do? Help him? Like, does you think he has like a call light in his bathroom?
I mean, he's like consistently the most unpopular senator, right? Yeah. Like, Republicans don't even like him. They just like him because he knows how to fuck with the political
like,
process.
Is it even a good networking opportunity? Right. Can you even go up to someone and be like, yeah, I worked for Mitch McConnell?
Yeah,
and
they'd be like, oh,
cool.
Fuck you.
You must suck.
Yeah. I think that's all the extra news story. Unless you can think of something else.
I can't think of anything else that happened this week. Yeah,
it's just about
unfortunately.
Mm. Yeah, I know.
Unfortunately.
Not too crazy. Anyway, I think that brings us to the end of the episode.
You know what it is.
Hope you all enjoyed this. Hope you enjoyed the Barbenheimer takes.
And I hope you enjoy us running through this list of beautiful people that help support us financially so that I don't go on strike.
Well, and I certainly enjoy these people.
I enjoy them.
Some of the best people.
Very much.
I've been told.
Great people. Good friends.
Yeah, good friends. Really
close
friends.
Good friends.
Good close intimate
and
friends.
And those good friends are Nikki Nine Lives, Caden Kraut, Lord T the Radiant, Chris the Boseman, Christy Beck, Talia Katz, 40% Spite, Andrew Harris, Mike Chaplinsky, Mattias T, Omar Zuno, Clayton LaFed, Mark Yeager, Dylan B, Kaz, Caleb Joy, Jim Bobs, Carl D, Rich Toro, Tari, Gavin Mayer Maldonado, Hunter W, Fergalaki, Max Vasquez, Jacob Rogers, Colton Mooberry, Fixer Punk, Jim Egbers, Jeff Muzzy, Bagel Burrito, Cincy Alex, Joe Stenstrom, Adrian Sandoval, Chloe Sam 601, Colleen Cuts, Gregory Isn't My Name, Veryuk, Jennifer DeVoe, Big Bird Titty, Crawfishin, Bennett Bennington III, Alexia Benanti, Nietzsche, Big Booty Beatdown, Moises T, Sam Maloney, Two Headed Boy, Ben Shapiro's Boyfriend, Jonathan Cassis, Luke O'Shea, Cucker Tarlson, Danielle Jackson, The Word of Microsoft, Jennifer Science, Aaron and His Gundam Gundams,
Darth Father, Aiden Taylor, Corey Chambers, Sewer Snack, L.E.N., John Glover, Weed Thief 69, Devin Hatchard, Retro Mondo, Meatball Minion, Emma the Dude Slayer, Claire McMillan, Breezy B, Elijah Murray, Veronica aka V, Raxon, Ash Smith, The Grotler, Magic Ian 95, Flower Clown, Jasper and Garrus, Beetlebugs, Three Crows in a Trench Coat, Lonnie Rogers, Slavic and Sapphic, Casey Lynn Kelly, Snake Eyes and Hope of Giants, AK Gone, Aquana Don, Zach Lantian, Info Russell, Austin Greif, Marcus Corbett, Caleb Roper, Dustin Waldron, Taylor Rensock, Ishi Teddy, Cammy, Calliope, Reagan, Not Like the President, Pagan Jester, Tylen Freeman, Steak Daddy, Tay Tay, Chill Cascade, Isaac Hodges, Madeline C, Pab the Pab 69, and My Mom. Thank you all much.
Every single one of you for being great friends.
For supporting the show on Patreon and being my best friend.
Yeah.
Each of you.
All of you are my best friend.
I'm in love.
Fuck, dude,
thank
I'm
you
infatuated.
All so much. And we'll see you all next week.
Have a great one.